To Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. I want to look at one verse this morning, verse 24. It says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now our subject is the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Sinners are justified freely. That means apart from our works, apart from our doing anything, God makes our record to be totally without sin. Past, present, and future is totally without sin. We have no record before God of sin. And it's by God's grace. That means it's apart from our works. This is Paul's main point that he's declaring. This all is apart from our works. None of our works towards the law makes any of this come to pass. It's by grace. Unmerited favor. Some have called it demerited favor. Because we not only did not merit it, we demerited it. And yet He was gracious to us. But it's through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, what is redemption? What is redemption? We say that word a lot. Do you know what redemption actually means? To redeem is to deliver by the payment of a price. Is to deliver by the payment of a price, the payment of a ransom price. It's liberation by the payment of a ransom. Now, every sinner that God saves, we had to be redeemed by Christ. Look back up at verse 23. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All Adam's race sinned when Adam sinned. Verse 9 says, both Jew and Gentiles are all under sin. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. When we sinned in Adam, and then when we were born by our own transgression, we sold ourselves under sin. We sold ourselves under sin. We started in bondage, slaves to sin and under the curse of the law. And then he says, and all have come short of the glory of God. The image of God is called the glory of God over in Corinthians. The image of God. We've come short of the image of God. Man was created by God in the image of God. But by sin, our nature became corrupt so that we fall short of the image, the glory of God. So Christ must come forth and He must pay the law what His people owed to the law. The price demanded is His blood, His life in the place of His people. He had to pay what we owed. The wages of sin is death. He had to pay what we owed to justice. And by that, He redeemed His people from the curse and condemnation of the law. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. It's because Christ purchased His people. He redeemed His people back to Himself from the curse of the law by paying the ransom price that was owed. And Scripture says not only that, but one of these days when He returns, we're talking about the falling short of the glory of God, and our body is not in His image anymore. But one day, He says that He shall redeem our bodies from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. So redemption, beginning to end, He's all of Christ, apart from our works. Now, I want us to see this today by first going over to Leviticus 25. Let's go to Leviticus 25. And we're going to see the law of the of the law of redemption. Under the old covenant, God provided a law for the man who became bankrupt. He was totally insolvent. He could not pay what he owed. And so God provided a law to protect him, to provide for him. And in this law, he pictures all his people and why our redemption is necessary. Look here, Leviticus 25 and verse 47. He says, if a sojourner or stranger wax rich by thee, and thy brother that dwelleth by him wax poor, and sell himself unto the stranger or sojourner by thee, or to the stock of the stranger's family, after that he is sold, he may be redeemed again. One of his brethren may redeem him. Either his uncle or his uncle's son may redeem him, or any that's nigh of kin, any that's near kin to him, of his family, may redeem him. Or if he be able, he may redeem himself. Now, all who God calls to faith in Christ are pictured in this poor man, in this bankrupt sinner. All that God shall save, we all have to take our place right here, because this is a picture of us. He became so poor that he was bankrupt. He had nothing with which to pay to those he owed. He could not pay them. And so what he was forced to do was he had to sell himself to them and become their slave to work off what he owed to them, or to merely work for them. But the Lord said, hey, they could be redeemed. By sinning, we became bankrupt. By sinning, we became bankrupt. We sold ourselves under the law, to the law, to the curse and condemnation of the law. And we owe the law something we can't pay the law. We owe the law perfect righteousness from the beginning of our life to the end of our life. We owe the law justice. Wages of sin is death. We owe the law eternal death for all our sins. We can't pay the law what we owe. But God said here, if he's able, he can redeem himself. But we can't. We're not able. We can't redeem ourselves. But look at this next thing. God said, any that's near of kin unto him, of his family, may redeem him. Now, secondly, I want you to go over to Ruth chapter 2. And let's see a picture of Christ, our kinsman redeemer. Christ, our near kinsman. We went through this whole book of Ruth, but I want to look here now at this kinsman redeemer. Now you remember, I'll give you a little review. By one sin, just one sin, Elimelech departed from the house of bread. He departed from Bethel, where God promised to meet with his people, where he was feeding his people. He departed from there because God gave a test. He gave a famine. And Elimelech left there and went down to the cursed land of Moab, where God said he was not even present. And by that one sin, he plunged his wife Naomi and her daughter-in-law Ruth into total bankruptcy. But then they heard the good news. They heard that God had visited his people in providing bread in Bethel. They heard the gospel. And so they went back to Bethel. And the scripture says, Ruth 2:1 says, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Boaz is the main figure in the book of Ruth. He's a type of Christ himself. He was near kin. Christ is the near kinsman of all his brethren. He's the firstborn among many brethren. He's the elder brother. He's near of kin. Bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh. He took upon him the nature of God's holy seed, of God's elect people. He's our near kin. And he has the ability. Boaz here was a man of great wealth. His name means in him is strength. That's what Boaz means. Christ is the God-man of great wealth, and in him is all the strength of his people. He has the ability to save us. He's near of kin, and He has the ability. But the third thing that's needed is a willingness. And Boaz was willing. Look down at Ruth. Let me see here. Look at Ruth 3 and verse 11. He says, "Now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest." Boaz was willing. Christ willingly, nobody coerced him, he willingly came down from heaven's glory and was made flesh so that he could go to the cross and redeem his people from the curse of the law. He willingly did this. Now, the whole purpose that Christ came was, in order to redeem us, God's holy character required that Christ must honor and magnify the law by fulfilling it in perfection. He had to honor and magnify the law. God's holiness required it. It was a must. God's justice must be poured out. So God remains just. It was necessary to uphold and magnify His law. Now look at Ruth 3 and verse 12. Boaz said, "Now it's true that I'm thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee." Look at Ruth 4, verse 1. "Then went Boaz up to the gate, and he sat him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, and unto whom he said, Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, Sit ye down here. And they sat down." Now this near kinsman, he represents the law. This near kinsman represents the law. Just look at what was taking place here. He had lawful right to redeem Ruth first. He was nearer of kin than Boaz, so the right of redemption fell to him first. And so Boaz has got to deal with this nearer kinsman in order to fulfill God's law. If God's law is going to be honored and it's going to fulfill this law, then Boaz has got to go and deal with this nearer kinsman first, because he wants to honor and magnify God's law. Christ came to declare God's righteousness. He came to honor and magnify the law of God. That's why He came. He came to declare God just and justifier. Remember, whom God set forth a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. This was the whole reason Christ came, was to declare God righteous, to manifest His righteousness, His holiness, His perfection. And so, to honor God's law, in order to honor God's law, Boaz went to the gate of the city. He goes to the gate of the city. That's where God commanded that His judges publicly judge the people. The gate of the city. It was a public place. It was out in the open. Everybody could see it. And God commanded that's where His judges were to judge the people. So it would be public and it would be in front of everybody. And when they judged, they were to judge justly. See, God's painting us a picture here of what Christ would do on the cross. This gate pictures the cross of Christ. This thing was not done in a corner. It was done open, in public, for all to view. That's what the significance of the gate was. And God said everything has to be done justly, because it's showing how God judges. Go to Deuteronomy 16. And let's look at verse 18. Hold your place in Ruth, Deuteronomy 16, 18. He says, "Judges and officers shalt thou make thee in all thy gates." See there? That's where Boaz went, up to the gates. Judges and officers shall thou make thee in all thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee throughout thy tribes. And they shall judge the people with just judgment. Thou shalt not wrest judgment. Thou shalt not respect persons, not even if the person is your only begotten son. No respect of persons. Neither take a gift, for a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. That which is altogether just shalt thou follow, that thou mayest live and inherit the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So this nearest kinsman and these 10 elders represent the 10 commandments and all the ceremonial law. These 10 elders, 10 commandments, and this near kinsman, this represents all the law. That public gate pictures the cross, the most public place where all can see God's judgment upheld, where they can all see God's righteousness. And when Boaz called these 10 elders, and this nearer kinsman, it's a picture of Christ. Christ is spotless. God's going to do this thing in perfect righteousness. And God said He hates those who condemn the just, and He hates those who justify the wicked. Even they both are an abomination to God. God said, you judge justly. And so, by Boaz going there, and he takes these 10 elders and this nearer kinsman, he's putting himself under the law. And it's a picture of Christ, spotless Lamb of God, who had to be made sin for us. He had to be made sin for His people on the cross so that God could judge Christ in just judgment. And that's what happened. He was made sin for His people on the cross, and God judged Him in just judgment in place of His people. And God did that to manifest His righteousness. He didn't even have a respect of persons towards His Son, but delivered Him up when sin was found on Him. He's showing that He's perfectly righteous. He will by no means clear the guilty. He will not. God is righteous. He's righteous. He's the rock, and His work is perfect. All His ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is He. And we see why Christ had to come. Because we see what the law cannot do. Because it's weak through our flesh. We can't do this through the law. Look here in Ruth 4 and verse 3. So He sets this nearer kinsman down. And He said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there's none to redeem it besides thee, and I am after thee. And the nearer kinsman said, I will redeem it. I'll redeem it. Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead. Her husband had died. And so this was the law that he had to marry her and raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now, the nearer kinsman now, you look at the law now, the nearer kinsman was willing to take Naomi's land. He was willing to take Naomi's land. And the picture here is, all the law can do is take from the sinner. That's all the law can do and remain just is take from you. If you think you have earned a righteousness or a holiness by your deeds to the law will take that from you and declare you guilty. Paul said, I was alive without the law once. He thought he had life because he was keeping the law, he thought. And I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, and I heard what the law said, sin revived. Sin became alive, and I died. All my goodness died. All my holy living died. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. He found out what the law was given for, to shut our mouths and declare us guilty. All the law can do is take from us, brethren. It cannot give you anything. And then when the kinsman heard that he had to buy Ruth and he had to produce children to preserve the name of her dead husband, the near kinsman said, I cannot redeem it lest I mar mine own inheritance. You see, the law is incapable of giving a sinner life. The law can't put life in you, just like that near kinsman could not put life in Ruth unless he marred his inheritance. The law cannot give you life. It can't show you mercy. It can't forgive you of sin, because if it does, it's going to mar itself. It won't be just to do so, because we're guilty. We're guilty by nature. If there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But there wasn't given a law that could give life. So this near kinsman, what did he say? He said, I cannot redeem it. He said, but Boaz, you can. You can. What do we read in Romans 8:3? What the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now notice here, brethren, when Boaz went up there to that gate, Naomi and Ruth are nowhere around. They're not with him. They're not with him. He went by himself to handle this matter of the law. He did that by himself. And when Christ went to the cross, His people didn't go with Him. We were in Him, but we were not there adding to the work. Christ had to do this alone. He had to answer to the law alone for His people. He hath made Him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. And here's what He did. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. How? He gave the law the purchase price that it demanded, being made a curse for us. He gave the law what it demanded. He was first made sin so that He could be made a curse. That means He had to bear all the condemnation that His people owed to justice. In those 3 hours of darkness on the cross, our Lord Jesus Christ satisfied the law, because He died the second death on the cross. The second death is separation from God. If you meet God in judgment and God judges you and you're without Christ, you will be punished by the second death, which is eternal separation from God and from the glory of His presence. It says that in Thessalonians. It's separation from the glory of God, from the glory of His presence, from the power of God. It's a place where men can do whatever they want to do. Gnash upon one another with gnashing of teeth and know all things that they could have had by Christ and they refused. And yet not be able to leave that place. Be tormented day and night with all these things. Our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross suffered that second death for His people. He didn't have to go to a place called hell. He suffered it on the cross when God forsook Him on the cross and He cried, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? He was bearing that second death. And when He said, it's finished, He finished it. It was finished. He has satisfied divine justice. He delivered us, He redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And He did this that the blessings of Abraham might come on us Gentiles through Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. He did this so we could have all the free blessings that God gives to His people. Now, be sure to get this. It was a must. There was no other way. Christ had to pay the ransom price demanded by the law in order to redeem His people from the curse and condemnation of the law. Christ had to pay the price God's justice demanded. He had to in order for God to remain just. And so in place of His people, He had to be made sin. And then He had to be made a curse. He had to be made, first He had to be made flesh. He had to be made under the law. And then He had to be made sin because He knew no sin. And He had to be made a curse for us and bear our punishment. And so then He paid with His own precious blood. He laid down His own life. The Lord said, the life of the flesh is in the blood. For it's the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. Almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. So that was the price, and Christ paid it. And He paid it in full by paying that ransom price. He honored the law perfectly by His perfect obedience unto death. He gave the law perfect righteousness, and He justified His people from all our sin. And Christ redeemed us from the curse of that law. He redeemed us. He bought us to Himself, so that Scripture says now all His people are His purchased possession. And He did it that He might give us freely all the blessings of God. Scripture says, because you are sons, the Spirit of Christ has come upon you and He's given you all the blessings because you are sons. Because you are sons. Now lastly, I want to show you the result of Christ redeeming His people from the curse of the law. What did He accomplish by this? What did He accomplish? Are we clear on what redemption is? It's deliverance by the payment of a price demanded. Christ delivered us from the law, paying the price the law demanded. His precious blood, life for life. So He has effectually redeemed His people. So now, He did it that they might receive the blessing. So they all must receive the blessing. Because He's redeemed them. He satisfied the law for them. They've got to be given eternal life. Because God's just. That same justice that demanded Christ give His life for His people, that same holy justice and that same righteousness of God demands now that all for whom He died must be given eternal life. Because God's just. He's righteous. He does everything in perfect righteousness. Isn't that wonderful to know when we live in a world where our leaders are so crooked and so corrupt? I thought Louisiana was bad. I grew up near Louisiana, went to school at Louisiana, and I thought it was bad. I grew up during the Edwin Edwards era, and I thought it was bad then. But it's just as bad now all over. But we have our Lord who does, He judges right. He judges justly. And He's going to do what's right for His people in this earth. He already has and He will. Now lastly, let's see the result of Christ redeeming His people from the curse of the law. Ruth 4:7. Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm all things. This is how it was confirmed. When one was redeemed and a change took place, a change of ownership took place, this is how it was confirmed. A man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor. And this was a testimony in Israel. And therefore, this kinsman said to Boaz, buy it for thee. And so he, the nearer kinsman, drew off his shoe and gave it to Boaz. Now, in Deuteronomy 25, he says that it was shameful if a near kinsman would not build up his dead brother's house. If he would not redeem his dead brother's relative and marry her and build up her house with his house with children, it was a shame. It was dishonorable. And what the woman was to do was she was to go to the gate And she was to loose the shoe off this man, and spit in his face publicly, and he was known from then on as the one who would not redeem. It was a shame and it was a dishonor. But here, the near kinsman himself takes off his shoe. He takes off his shoe and he confirmed that Boaz had redeemed Ruth. Now, what's the picture there? Christ didn't come to dishonor the law. He didn't come to make the law shameful. He came to honor the law. He came to honor the law. And the Lord is well pleased for His righteousness' sake. He magnified the law and made it honorable. Now, to show this man who represents the law took his own shoe off before Boaz, who pictured Christ. He took it off, and he's showing by that he is the servant to Boaz. He was, and what is the law called? It's called a servant to Christ. It was a schoolmaster. It was an aid to Christ until Christ came. And then once Christ comes and He gives you faith, you're not under that schoolmaster anymore. So that's what we have pictured here. And you remember Moses goes to the burning bush, and in that burning bush was Christ. And when Moses came to that burning bush, Moses is a picture of the law. What did Moses do? He took his shoes off. The Lord said, take your shoe off. This is holy ground. He took his shoe off. See, the law bows to Christ. The law, He came and fulfilled it and honored it and upheld it so that the law takes its shoe off and confirms, yes, Christ has fully redeemed us. He has fully fulfilled everything that He came to fulfill. And so these 10 elders and the people and this near kinsman, they're picturing the law and they're picturing the prophets, and they bear witness right there in public. They bear witness that Boaz has lawfully redeemed Ruth. That's what the law and the prophets do. Look, Ruth 4:9. Boaz said unto the elders and to all the people, your witness is this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's. Those were the Elimelech was the father, and Chilion and Mahlon was the husbands or the sons, and they married. One of them was Ruth's husband. He said, I bought everything that belonged to them from the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife. Get that now. He's saying, I redeemed her to be my wife. I purchased her to be my wife. Verse 11. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. What did Romans 3 tell us? Romans 3:21. Now the righteousness of God without our deeds to the law is manifested, but it's witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Christ Himself. That's what you have pictured here. These ones that pictured the law, the nearer kinsmen and the 10 elders and all the people, they bore witness. They pictured the law and the prophets, and they bore witness. Boaz redeemed Ruth. And so the law and the prophets bear witness. Christ has redeemed all His people. All His people. And so at last now, with the law being honored, law was totally honored. Ruth was redeemed. She was purchased. So now it was lawful for Boaz to take his bride and to produce children. Look here. Ruth 4 and verse 13. It says, so Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. Having redeemed his people, having made us his purchased possession, having completely, perfectly fulfilled the law of God by giving that purchase price, his own blood. Brethren, the Lord sends this good news to his people, and he quickens us to life, and he gives us faith, and he, as it were, betroths his bride to himself. He gives us a covenant that we are going to be married to him in the marriage feast of the Lamb. We're his. He purchased us to marry us. That's why He bought us. Just like Hosea purchased Gomer when she was on the slave block to be his wife. And the Lord purchased us to be His bride. And He is the one now who produces fruit in us. He's the one who produces good works in His people, just like Boaz produced that child through the Lord in Ruth. Christ is the one that produces good works in us. Let me ask you this question. Do you imagine that Ruth ever went back to that nearer kinsman and said, "Now what do you want me to do? What is it that you want me to do so I can be a faithful husband to Boaz?" No. Why? Because Boaz totally, completely redeemed her from that nearer kinsman, and that nearer kinsman has nothing else to say to her now. Go to Romans 7, verse 4. "Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to Him who's raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." Look, "For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we're delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, not in the oldness of the letter." We don't go back to the law, just like Ruth didn't go back to that nearer kinsman. Where does she look now? Where does she get her fruit from? Where was she made to bear her children now? From Boaz. And we don't go back to the law. We're married to Christ. And the way we're going to be fruitful now, we never were fruitful when we tried to bring forth fruit by the law. The way we're fruitful, all God's people are fruitful, is by Christ producing fruit in His people. It's called in Philippians, fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ to the praise and glory of God. That's where our fruit comes from. People can't understand why we don't preach law and send a sinner back to the law for sanctification. It's because Christ is our righteousness and our sanctification. He is the sanctifier, just like He is the Redeemer. And all the fruit that's going to be produced is produced by Christ, that He might get all the praise and all the glory. To show us that, it said there in that text that the Lord is the one that gave Ruth conception. Through her husband, the Lord gave her conception. And through our husband, the Lord gives us fruitfulness and makes us bear fruit. Now, to show us that all this is a type of Christ, look at this last part, Ruth 4:14. "And the women said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that His name may be famous in Israel." That's why the Lord didn't leave His people without a kinsman, so that His name might be famous. And it's famous. His name is famous. Look here. "And He shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him." And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name. And they gave it the name of Obed. Obed. And he's the father of Jesse, the father of David. You know that through Obed and through Jesse and through David, Christ came. And He is the restorer of our life. And He's the nourisher of our old age. Because if the Son shall make you free, if He shall redeem you from the law and make you free, you shall be free indeed. Totally free. This is why, brethren, in the New Testament, all His redeemed are said to be bought with a price. We're said to be His purchased possession. Listen to this. Let's go 1 Corinthians 6. I want you to see this. And we'll close. 1 Corinthians 6. all our motivation, all our constraint. It's not law. It's what Christ has done for us. It's what we are because of what Christ has done for us. 1 Corinthians 6, look here at verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. You're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Look at chapter 7 and verse 23. You are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. You're bought with a price. Ephesians 1:4 talks about the Spirit being given to us for an earnest of our inheritance. And it says, until Christ returns to redeem His purchased possession. He's already redeemed us from the law, but one day He's going to purchase us back from this corruption of this flesh. Fully, finally, freely, forever, and we're going to be perfectly conformed to His image. We won't come short of the glory of God. He begins this work by creating a new spirit in us, but He's going to complete it when He brings us into His presence, and we're completely conformed to His image. So you see, brethren, redemption is by the purchase price that Christ paid, redeeming us from the law, redeeming us from the corruption of our flesh, so that we're going to be made completely delivered into the glorious liberty of the sons of God and be just like our Redeemer. That's good news. That's good news. If you're bankrupt, that's the greatest news you'll ever hear. I pray God make us bankrupt. All right, let's observe the Lord's table. Brother Kevin. Brother Scott.